Some of us take the long way home. Some people learn a little bit easier, but some people it takes a little while to sink in. We are going to talk about friendship today, in which we've touched on some of this before, and because it is so incredibly relevant to our mission statement, I thought we would start with that. I think I have it up there. Rochelle, I put that on the first slide, didn't I? I have it memorized, not as a proud thing, just because if I don't memorize it, it won't ever stick. So I have to stick things in my brain, which takes a while. But let's say this together. With the Spirit of God, we will build relationships, lead others to Jesus, and disciple believers to be Christ-like. As a church, that's what we are focused on doing. And this next slide kind of shows us a picture of what we'll be talking about today. Isn't that cute? Friendship. I couldn't think of anything worse in life than going through life without a friend. If you know me very well, you'll know that if I'm in a room by myself for more than 30 minutes, I will start looking for reasons to get out of the room because I don't like to be by myself. I think life's too short to be alone. I'll go find somebody to spend it with. I like being connected to other people. And through our story this week, we heard about how David killed the giant Goliath, and Saul recognized him as a great warrior, gave him his daughter as a wife, gave him a room in the palace, and brought him in and took him in as a son. And then things started unfolding, and it turned into a disaster for King Saul. But what's really interesting is what happened at the beginning when David took the life of this man who was trying to destroy the Israelites. So he was a giant, and there's some dispute on how tall he was, somewhere probably around 9 feet tall, huge man. David comes out, he hears this giant mocking the God of the Israelites, and David has come to bring his brother's food. So David's the little one. His brothers are out there at warriors, they're soldiers fighting. David brings them some food. I'm sure he was curious to know what's going on. So, hey, Dad, can I take some food to my brothers? Okay. He goes up to the camp, and while he was there, he hears Goliath mocking the God of the Israelites. And for David, we know that God loved him because he had a heart that was set on God. David was a man after God's own heart. And we see this right here because when David hears someone mocking his God, he comes unglued. Basically, how can you guys sit here and listen to this happen? This guy's mocking our God. And, you know, of course, he's a giant. David's brothers get jealous because they think, oh, you little brat, you little punk, just because Samuel came and said you're going to be king, you think you're special, you little punk. That's what they said to him. So people were calling him names. He's like, I don't care. They are degrading the name of the God that I serve, who is the creator of the universe, and I'm not going to put up with it. So he comes to King Saul and says, I'm going to go take that guy out. Saul's like, you're just a kid. And David says, well, I have done things like this before, and I'm not going to stand here and take it. So Saul puts on his... Saul's a tall... The Bible says he is a foot taller than everybody else. So Saul's a big man. David's the youngest of the boys. He puts his armor on David, and it kind of, David says, I can't do anything with this. He goes out with a sling and a stone. And we could probably spend a whole message on how cool it was that that Goliath came at David with swords and spears, and David took a sling. That's called non-conventional warfare. He took this and defeated the giant. And when he came back, is what happened when he came back is really interesting. And like 3 or 4 months ago, we touched on this. Maybe it's been longer. You know what? Side note. A year ago today, this Sunday, this really cool group of people voted on this kind of not altogether, doesn't quite have it with it guy. And they said, hey, we want him to be our pastor. And so... not that I keep track of really important days that have happened in my life, but I'm still happy about it. So, So it would. So it's probably like, oh, stop. So it's probably really like 8 months ago. But we talked about this relationship with David and Jonathan. So David has come and said, this man is mocking my God, and if no one else will, I'm willing to stand up in defense of my God. After he'd killed Goliath, he came back to Saul to report what had happened. And this is where the interesting thing takes place. And it's in the book of 1 Samuel. If you have your Bibles, we're just going to read a few verses. It's right here where we see God do something. It wasn't concocted by two people and think, hey, you do this and I'll do this and then it'll be great. 1 Samuel chapter 18, we see that God does something. He does it here, and as we're going to see throughout the next 15 to 20 minutes, he has promised to do that for us too, which I think is great. But in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1 says, now it came about when David had finished speaking to Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself. Saul took him that day and did not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off his own robe and gave it to David, and with his armor, including his sword and his bow and his belt. When Jonathan heard the words coming out of the mouth of David and the report David gave, his soul was knit together with the soul of David. And he said, I make a covenant with you. Which, just a quick review, a covenant is not like a promise. A covenant is, when you make a covenant with someone, the covenant Jonathan made with David, I guarantee to remain true to this, and if I ever break this, you have the right to take my life. That's a covenant. Jonathan told David, I make a covenant with you that you are my brother. And he took off his robe and his sword, and he gave this to David, saying, I am giving you my defense. I am giving you my place in the house. That's a pretty close friend. And it doesn't say that he took, 15 years after he was, we thought about it. I learned that I could trust him, and, I saw him do this, and I wasn't sure about it. Then we talked about it. Then things got better. When David came back and gave the report to King Saul, and Jonathan heard it, it says his soul was knit together with David's. Now, why would that happen so quickly? If you know much about the story of Jonathan, you can flip back a few chapters and see that Jonathan carried that same passion for his God. When the Philistines were mocking Jonathan's God, Jonathan and his armor bearer went up and took care of a whole bunch of them. Jonathan did, he obeyed God, and that was his first priority. What does God want me to do? If God wants me to do it, I'll do it. So when Jonathan, who is focused on serving God, hears someone else speak whose focus is on serving God, he said, there's a guy that's just like me. And their souls were knit together. Does that make sense? The connection was their commitment to serving God, which is something that God did for them. Now, what I would like to think about today is that in our own lives, what I want us to see that serving God can create the strongest bond of friendship possible. When we commit to serve God together, that opens the door for God to come in and say, this is what I've planned. And we all know, the Bible says, if God has put something in order, there's no one else that can tear it down. If God builds a wall, no one can destroy it. What God has joined together, maybe you know it this way, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. We say that in weddings too, and we're going to talk about that. But if we want that kind of cohesion, that strength between our relationships, we can look at Jonathan and David here and say, something happened between these two guys. What caused it? And we see it was their connection, their commitment to serving God. In Mark chapter 6, It's the verse that I just talked about a second ago, what God has joined together, Mark chapter 10, verse 6 through 9. We think of this in terms of weddings, but the reason I was drawn to this passage is because this kind of knitting together that happened with David and Jonathan, it's the same verbiage that Jesus uses when he's talking about marriage. The Pharisees had come up and say, you know, how many times can you get divorced? Who's going to be married? Blah, blah, blah. Why can't we? And Jesus talks about that for a second. But then in verse 6, he says, from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no longer two, but one. What God has joined together, let no man separate. Here Jesus is talking about marriage. And a minute ago we heard about it talking about Jonathan and David, but it's the same concept. God is saying when God has the church word is ordained. When God has ordained something, that means when God has said, this is the way I want it to be. When God puts something in place and we agree to fall in line with what God has ordained, he says the bond that I place between those in that relationship can't be broken by any outside force if God's put it together. And it started me thinking, well, I think about it a lot, but I continued thinking, you know, how is that possible? Because we can think of 20 different reasons why it won't work. Yeah. Well, I did like them until they did this. And then they kind of got on my nerves. And I didn't want to be around them anymore. Which sometimes we can justify that to ourselves. If somebody hurts me or my kids, you know, I'll take a step sideways. Like, yeah, we're going the same direction, but you're there and I'm right here. We'll keep walking the same direction. That's a little bit different, or at least I've convinced myself it is. That's a little bit different than what can separate people. What Saul did, if we go back to the story of David and Jonathan, Saul, the king, at first said, I'm going to take you in as my own son. He made that same kind of commitment. Things started falling apart when the rest of the army and the rest of the nation realized David's a pretty cool guy. Even Saul's daughter, the prize that David got for defeating Goliath, when David came back and Saul had said, hey, I've got these other things I need to take care of, David went and took care of some more Philistines who were taking land away. David came back, and Saul's own daughter was like, he's so cool. He's the greatest. I love him. They were aligned with David because David looked cool, and David was giving them what they wanted. The problem for Saul and his wife, Michal, started, it's a woman, but her name was Michal. They started arising when Saul said, this guy is really good. This guy's better than me. I want to be the best. He makes me look bad. Well, I don't want to be around him anymore because I don't look as good when I'm around him. So let's kill him. Which if you're king, I guess you can do that. We can't. But there are times where we, maybe not anybody in here, but we feel that tension in relationships, not because somebody's bad, but because we don't feel so special anymore. They're really good at it, and I'm not quite so good, and everybody wants to talk to them now because they're funny. And so, and well, I'm sure we've never done this, but some people will try what we call character assassinations. Yeah, they're funny, but, you know, sometimes I just can't believe that she said, well, I shouldn't talk about it. Never mind, just forget I said it. Sometimes we're sneaky like that, where we try to slide things in where there are people who are receiving more attention than us and that we once used to really like, but now they make us look bad. And so, yeah, but, which is what Saul was doing. He didn't have to be so discreet about it. He just said, he's going to take over the country, kill him. And in our own little ways, sometimes we have these people that we feel competition with, that we thought we liked them, but because I don't feel as powerful now, I don't want to be their friend anymore. And I'm not talking to anyone in particular here, but it's just something to keep in the back of my mind as I am aligning myself, or as I'm saying, yeah, this is my friend, or hey, they're really great. What's drawing me to them? Why do I want to be their friend? Is it because they make me look good? If they make me look good, it won't be long till they'll make me look bad, because everybody will see they're better than me, which is what Saul, the problem that Saul ran into. I'm just going to read it to you. When our motivation is based on fulfilling God's plan, different results can occur. What we had just talked about was making myself look good. What Jonathan and David had in common was making God look good. Not that God needs us to make him look good. They were in the business of defending God. And when we decide we are going to align ourselves with what God wants, he'll be there with us. And since we're on the topic of marriage and it fits so well, Ephesians chapter 5. I don't need to turn there. I kind of almost have it memorized, but it's one of those. We had a wedding here last night, and this was part of the wedding ceremony. Ephesians chapter 5 is probably one of the most misquoted verses of the Bible. It starts off with saying, wives, submit to your husbands, because he is the head of the house, just as Christ is the head of the church. That's no fun. So the wives get 3 verses. The husbands get 9. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself to die for her. What he's saying is, when your focus becomes your wife, making her the perfect person that she... Well, not perfect, that's not... Chris is... she's perfect, but you probably... I'll go back here. When your focus is on making your wife reach her potential, God will bless that relationship. God will create a bond. God will join something together that can't be separated, because God said, this is what I want you to do in marriage. This is what I want you to do in the most important relationship in your life. Wives, I want you to respect your husbands. Husbands, everything you do should be focused on making your wife the best person she could be, which is different than, can you get me another glass of Coke? My laundry's not done. What do you do all day? Or, well, you know how those women are. I should probably not touch that one. I'm going to touch it. When we, make little funny jokes to tear other people down because it's cute and they like it. You know, is that building your wife up so that everyone around respects her just as much as God wants them to respect her? No. And for wives, whenever you're at work and your husband's not around and you all get to talking about, you know how men are, is that causing respect for your husband, or is that causing other people to think, yeah, your husband's a jerk just like mine? That's not the way God wants relationships to be built. I didn't say anything. I will tell you that I learned, if you haven't heard, I learned this one the hard way, because there were probably 4 years of my life where it was my number one goal to make everyone know that I was smarter than Carissa. So whenever she said something, I would ridicule it. Whenever she had an idea, well, it wasn't as good as my idea. If she wanted to do something, I didn't want to do it because this is what I wanted to do. And then when I started digging in through here and seeing, how does God want a relationship to be built? Because it is possible, just as Jonathan and David has had their souls knit together, it is possible for husbands and wives, not only husbands and wives, but anyone who is focused on serving other people, it is possible for God to look at that relationship and say, that's what I had in mind, and bring us so close together that no one outside can separate us. Now, what's that have to do with church? Yeah. I have a box, and you're all going to see the box soon. I'm not going to get to the box yet. But that's a teaser. That's what that's called. It's called a teaser. When we are committed to serving God, which is different than committed to serving God the way I want to serve God. When we're committed to serving God and we commit to do that as a family, there is no outside force that will be able to tear that wall down or to break that bond. When we are committed to serving God together, when my main focus is defending the name of Christ and your main focus is defending the name of Christ and we decide that we're going to walk together to do it, God says there is no outside force that can tear that wall down or that can break that. I keep saying tear the wall. There's no outside force that can break that bond. The force that can break that bond is when I decide that I want to defend the name of Christ this way and your way's dumb. And if you don't do it my way, then I'm going to tell somebody else your way's dumb. When we can erode that relationship from the inside. But if we are committed, like Jonathan and David were, we have a same cause, we're going in the same direction, we want the same thing. God will bring a covenant relationship together between us that nobody can destroy. And that's my hope, is that as we are working together and we are defending the name of Christ together, that we will look at each other not as competitors or I've got to come up with or you've got to do it my way, because if my focus is right here, I'll become like Saul. If my focus is on God, then you and I can walk together the rest of our lives and we'll be great. I'm thoroughly convinced that division in church begins when people stop looking at God and start looking at, well, that's not the way I would do it. Because I like, there are a lot of things I like that I don't do. We do them sometimes. Sometimes we don't. What I want is for us to have the type of relationship that Jonathan and David had. When we hear, this is where God is calling us, these are the people that God has placed in our lives, we can have our souls knit together. We can be unified in that cause, so that no one can separate us. That's pretty much what I wanted to talk about today. We read these stories about marriage, which it is important. Husbands, everyone should listen to what you say and have great respect for your wife. Wives, people should be able to hear what you say about your husband and think he's the best guy in the world. That's the way it should be. In the church, we should do the same thing. That doesn't mean gloss over the problems. It means we don't advertise or we don't focus on everything that's wrong with everybody. I have a lot of problems. If you want to know, I've already told you some of them. I have a whole list. If somebody says, can you believe Ben did whatever, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he told me about it. He's already told us. If you've been here long, you'll know I have problems. And to some extent, we all do. But what we don't have a problem with is our commitment to serving God together. When things start causing that commitment to be eroded, I get protective. Don't you dare mess it up. And there are ways that God says, if you do have a problem with, if somebody said something that honked you off, what are you supposed to do? You could. I work on that one. And if that doesn't work, Jesus said, go to that person. Talk to them directly. Mike's a little aggressive today. He said, go to that person directly. And when I serve God the way he has instructed me to serve him, he will preserve the relationships that we've built. Doesn't mean I think you're the greatest guy in the world, because I'm not the greatest guy in the world. I want us to be committed to one cause, and that's defending the name of Christ. And when we do that, as a church, we can have the same kind of bond that Jonathan and David had with each other. That's what I want for us today. If you're able to stand, would you do that, please? I don't care. I really don't care. It doesn't bother me. I'm going to leave you with this. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. God gives us things to serve one another. Jonathan and David served God together. They served each other. Husbands and wives were designed to serve each other. As a church, we serve each other, and God will create a bond that no outside force can separate. That's what our hope is for us. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the great day that you've given us, and I hope that what's been said today through songs and through class and through this topic, I hope that you will plant something in our brain and you'll help it to grow. For me personally, to help me to be more focused on you and less about what I want, so that we can serve each other together. Help me to be a better husband and a better dad and a better friend. Help us to grow together so that the people around here will look at us and say, that's what I want. Help us to be a big, bright light on the top of this hill. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask this. Amen. Have a great week.